You know, the reality is a lot of churches, they get to a point and they reach a plateau, and you see a lot of churches that close and just die off. You know why? Because something happens, culture changes, things change, and there's a new opportunity that God puts in front of them, and they go, I love God, but that's too big. We can't do that. We can't go there. Let's go back to the good old days, which really probably weren't that good to begin with. They were slaves. Instead of trusting God and moving forward, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. Look at Josh and Caleb. And they said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he'll bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land. They're bread for us. Their protection is removed from them. The Lord is with us. Don't fear them. They didn't want to hear it. Look, the congregation said, stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. They're ready to kill Joshua and kill Caleb because they don't want to obey. They don't want to go forward. They don't want to trust this. They don't want to step ahead and step out in faith. Let's stone them. Let's kill them. And it says the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Would that freak you out a little bit? The glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people despise me? How long will they not believe in me in spite of all the signs I've done among them? I'll strike them with the pestilence and disinherit to them, and I will make you of you a nation greater and mightier than they. But Moses pleads with them, and it goes on, and God relents. And God says, okay, fine, but then you're going to wander for 40 years, and no one who is 20 years or older other than Joshua and Caleb will live to enter the land. And it'll be 40 years, they'll all be dead, and then I'll take Joshua and the next generation, and they'll go get the inheritance that I promised. I'm done messing with the rebellion. I'm done with the complaining. I'm done with the grumbling. I love you, but you're going to stay here. And that's what God does. And Joshua and Caleb have to wait for 40 years for people who are disobedient to die. And be out of the way so that God could move them forward. And the reality is that all of these people had a choice. They had a choice. If they would have simply chosen to obey and love God and follow Jesus and put him first, they would have been in the land. God would have won the victory for them. And all of us then, over the coming weeks, individually, as a church family, all of us, we have a choice laid out for us to choose this day. The end of the book of Joshua, Joshua wraps it up in chapter 24. And it's on the wall out there. You can read it. You can go look at it. It'll be all over the website. It'll be all over everything over the next few weeks. But finally, he lays it all out and he's like, listen, put away your idols, okay? Make a choice. No more. No more playing games. Serve the Lord. And he goes this, he goes, but if it seems evil to you to serve God, if it seems evil to you to love Jesus, make a choice. Today, will you serve the Lord or go back to the wilderness? No more games. Choose this day. And he draws a line in the sand and he goes, but for me, listen, me, my house will serve the Lord. We'll serve the Lord. Jesus first. The greatest choice that faces you. The greatest choice flat out that you need to make a choice about is this. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? No one can make that choice but you. No one. No one can make it for you. What will you do with Jesus? Will you trust him? Will you love him? Will you turn to him in faith? See, he comes in humility. He lives the life we couldn't. He dies on the cross for my sin, for your sin. And he says, turn to me in faith. Choose me. If you'd simply choose him and put your faith in him, you'd be saved and redeemed and changed. And the greatest choice that you face ever in your life is, what will you do with Jesus Christ? Will you choose him? Will you love him? Will you honor him? For those of us who know Jesus, your choice is whether or not you'll put him first. You can't do it on your own without the help of the Holy Spirit, without the help of Jesus in you. We're all miserable failures without Jesus. We're all doomed and destined for hell apart from Jesus. So choose him today. If there's failure in your past, it's past. Turn to Jesus. He redeems, he restores, he makes new, and there's great hope and joy and peace. In who? In Jesus.